Easy Sports Talk Show with Ed Smith and Javon Adams, the podcast that we do every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Thank you for checking in on us. My name is Javon Adams, and that man over there, he not only played professional baseball, but also played in the National Football League on that first Super Bowl-bound team for the Atlanta Falcons. He's an author, trying to get him to write a second book, and he's also a motivational speaker. What is good, my brother?
Freaky Friday, bruh. No football for the first time since, what, like August?
Well, you mean you're not going to watch the, you're not going to watch that?
The flag football game? Nah, I think I'll pass on that.
Well, at least they finally admitted that it was a flag football game. You know, I mean, they just finally made a flag football game when if you watch the Pro Bowl, then it felt like a flag football game when you watched.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last couple of years of that, boy. Oh, my goodness.
So let's get into it. We got a great show lined up for you. Got some interesting news about my team.
Yay.
and how sometimes your most recent effort doesn't necessarily count you out of a job. And so you know what I mean when I get to that in a second. But let's start off with, because we talked about the Pro Bowl, so that means that the Super Bowl is coming up on the 11th. And so you've been to the Super Bowl. We talked about what last week about getting that conference championship game for you and what that meant and how emotional you were. But now you got that week in between. So this is that week in between as you're leading up to get there, to all that stuff that goes into it. What was that like? So let's take me from the game is over. Anywhere from you want from there. So the game is over. You're happy. You're crying. You're elated. Anywhere from that to the week of.
It was interesting because, you know, after the game, you know, obviously it was all the emotion in the locker room and everything. And then, you know, we all cried. I thought I cried enough. Then I get out into the hours later, we get out into the parking lot. We get on the buses because I get back to Atlanta. And my brother's out there, and I see him. He looks at me. He starts crying. I start crying again. So, you know, we did the hugs out there and everything. We eventually, you know, part ways. He heads back home. I jump on the plane. We jump on the plane with the team. I get back to Atlanta, bruh, and, you know, I left my truck at the airport this time. Usually I, you know, drive with the team from the facility, but I left my truck at the airport, and we were able to do the thing where, you know, I had to go through the terminal, you know, because we got off and went, and there were people waiting on us in the terminal to congratulate us and stuff like that. So that was cool.
How does that feel, man? Because I've seen those images of when the plane comes in and people are there with signs and they're so happy. But you were there, so you were from the inside looking out. How does that feel?
Well, it was so unexpected, you know. And there were people that even waited and followed the buses back to the facility so they could, you know, cheer. But I got in my truck, you know, I went through the terminal, people cheering, all that kind of stuff, and it was so crazy, you know. Get back to my apartment, and bro, it was crazy because I checked this. I'm gonna date myself.
Yeah.
I checked my messages from, you know, before we got on the plane. I had to call back. You know, I had an actual answering machine, bro.
Yeah.
And I had to put the code in. You know, I had a couple messages from the time we flew back, got home. You know, drove back to my apartment. My answering machine was full. I don't even know how many messages it holds, but it was full. And the crazy part was, it was people from, there were people, bro, I didn't even know how they got my number. And I'm talking family members I'd never heard of or from. Hey, cuz, this is such and such down in Birmingham, Alabama. We're going to the Super Bowl. Where can I get my ticket, bro? I'm like,
oh, my God. Bro,
that's when it all started. I had friends and people I hadn't talked to. And I must have had 35, 40 messages. I can't even remember. But it was cool, you know. And that led into the week because we had a light week of practice that week. So imagine we got back that Sunday, late Sunday night or Monday morning, actually. And then we had the meeting to watch the film and everything Monday. And then coach gave us a couple days off because we had the bye week. And he's like, look, here's our schedule. We're going to come in a couple days this week. But real light, our travel day was Sunday, the following Sunday, to go down to Miami. So, you know, it all started from there, and it was almost one of those things where, you know, my best friend on the team, Calvin, we decided, okay, well, you know, we got a whole week coming up and down in Miami. What we got to do, bro? We got to go shopping. So we had to go get the fresh suits. we had to go get, and this is back in the day, we had to go get the camcorders, the digital cameras, you know, stuff like that. So he and I, we spent the whole week, you know, just every day, you know, get up, we have some quick meetings or whatever. And around town, bro, you know, we could not go anywhere and be not be recognized. And I mean, I'm talking everywhere, bro. We went to the mall. We went to, you know, to eat. It was just so cool. And, you know, to be recognized and people want to come up, shake the hands, you know, take pictures with us, that whole type of thing. So throughout the week, it was just, it was recognition. It was shopping. It was, you know, we tried to, and what Dan tried to do, he was like, look, you know, we're not really doing the install till next week, so we don't want to overdo it in terms of, you know, because they were working on the game plan for Denver, because that's who had won. They beat the Jets of all teams. Denver beat the Jets of all teams to get to the Super Bowl. So it was one of those things where, you know, it was we had a lot of time on our hands, and it was so cool. And I mean, just everywhere we went, people, you know, wanted to be with us, to talk to us, tell us how they were lifelong Falcons fans. You know, I'll be perfectly honest. We had a little free time, so we went to a couple establishments, you know, that recognized us. You know,
yes, sir.
And I have VIP parking, bro. I mean, when I say VIP parking, I pulled up in the spot, and they were like, no, we're not going to valet you, bro. We're just going to leave your truck right here at the front door. And I was just like, oh, seriously?
Oh, no, that's VIP. Yeah. That's VIP.
Then I got walked up to the not the champagne room, but I got I was young and single, you know, so we had some time.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was so cool. Didn't pay for anything. The whole, it was one thing I always wanted to, when you have money.
Yeah.
And you have, you know, why does everybody always want to pay for stuff for you?
I've always wondered that myself. You know, they know you can pay, but I got this, man. I pay. You know, your money's no good here.
Wouldn't let us pay for anything. And I'm just like, you know, but that's the way it was, man. And, you know, and then just the travel day, and I'll stop off at the travel day because I'm sure next week you want to talk a little bit about
that. Yeah.
When the travel day was so cool, because I see we had the new suits, we had this, that, you know. And we fly down to Miami, and we get down there, bro. And it was, I mean, all the media and everything waiting for us just to get off the plane, you know, because we had the buses right on the tarmac. We get off the plane, and all the cameras are there just waiting on us, you know, and just watching us walk down the stairs to the buses.
Yeah.
And then to start the week off, bro, we didn't, like, I'm like, damn, you know, we did not, we had probably all the police in Miami escorting us and shit, street shut down. I mean, they had our route shut down to our hotel. And it was like, damn, I mean, and, you know, normal, you know, travel, you know, you get there and we just in traffic with everybody else, you know?
Right.
They shut traffic down, our route, every bus. And we probably had like five buses or whatever it was with all the people that came down, because we had two planes. We had to fly down with two planes, bro. You know, so all these people getting off on the, you know, like I said, we had the whole route shut down, and that was just the start of the week. Then we get to the hotel. Now, in here, get to the hotel, and, I mean, we had a special entrance to the hotel, bro, because of all the media and everything up front, and people wanting autographs, and they showed us our private entrance to the hotel around back. And then as we got our hotel keys, we got our own suite and a guest suite, and here's the keys to your rental car. And that's really? Every one of us. I was like, rental car? Every one of us had our rental car in a spot out in front of the hotel.
Wow.
So that's how the week, you talking about the, you know, from getting home and, you know, the whole week of pampering in Atlanta, and then we fly down there to Miami, and that's, you know, that's probably where it all went downhill for some people.
We'll talk about that next week.
That's a story for next week. So, I do have
a question about, so that week leading up, because you mentioned you had all these numbers, I mean, all these messages when you came back. I am curious because I would remember reading or seeing stories about all the requests from family members. Did you have a lot of that? What was that like when it came down to all the little the travel plans or trying to get tickets for people and stuff like that? How did they designate that?
Really crazy because in a normal season and even to this day, every player at the end of the year, you get 2 Super Bowl tickets. And okay. back then it was 2 Super Bowl tickets. But when we went to the game, because we won, they were like, oh, well, each of you get your 2, but you get an additional 10 or 12 or however many it was. So every one of us got 14, whatever the number.
Yeah.
And obviously there were requests out the wazoo. And, you know, I didn't have that many friends, bro. And I didn't have that much family that I'm flying down. But I knew there were certain people that were coming to the game that outright, my mom, my dad, my mm-hmm. brother, yeah. my agent was Pat Dye Jr. He had an assistant in the office and Amy who took care of us all and everything. There was a young lady I was dating at the time. Obviously, this was way back in 98. Young lady I was dating from time. She got a ticket. I flew her out from California for the game. But those people, and then the rest of them, bro, I sold them. I was just like, I'm getting rid of these, and I'm going to make me some money. So, and it was, I'll tell you that whole process. I don't know if the IRS is still listening. So
I got you. We talk about that offline.
Yeah, I'll tell you that one offline. But, yeah, the rest of them, I gave an envelope of tickets to my brother. And he made it work for me. I'll tell you that whole thing.
I feel you. I feel you.
But, yeah, as far as, bro, the phone would not stop ringing. People from and I just had to tell, at some point, because the week leading up was not a big deal because, we still weren't in full prep mode.
Right.
But once we, once we go down to Miami, for me, it's all business. I can't be dealing with this. And I made up my mind. I had those people, obviously mom and dad and my brother, but I wanted my agent. I was like, look, you guys have done so much for me. So I had those allotted. The rest of them, like all the calls and stuff, and by the end of the week, it was so, and initially it was cool because it's like, wow, all these people call me. Then by the end of the week, it's like, damn, why all these people stop calling me? Because, certain people, the maintenance man at the my apartment complex, I know I'm going to get a ticket, right? Cause I'm like, bro, I don't know you like that. I mean, I know we chat. So I got to the point where I'm the family, like I said, I'd never heard of. Even family that I knew of, I'm like, I'm not giving So it did get annoying by the end of it, and all the requests. And then I just stopped either answering calls or was real quick with the response. Initially it was like, well, we'll see, how it all works out. And by the end of the week, it was like, nah. And that was pretty much it. Martin was over. But I had to escape them, man. It was crazy. It really was crazy.
That's Ed Smith. I'm Javon Adams. This is the Easy Sports Talk Show. We do this Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Make sure you check us out, or tell a friend and tell a friend, as I should say. But all right, let's get to some movement within the NFL, within the coaching ranks, coaching and offensive coordinator ranks. But so Dan Quinn, the former defensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys, has been hired by the Commanders. When I talked earlier about sometimes your most recent showing is a bad showing, but you still end up getting the job. We know how the Cowboys were dismantled in the playoffs, in their playoff game, but he ends up getting that job. And I don't think that you should look at the bigger body of work, but because Ben Johnson decided to pass on the job, then they go with Dan Quinn. What are your thoughts on Dan Quinn? I mean, I don't think he's been a coach before, right? This is his first time, right?
No. He was the coach of the Atlanta Falcons.
That's right.
They went to the Super Bowl. I think he was there for 4 years.
Yes.
The famous 28-3. He was the coach. Shanahan was the offensive coordinator. They lost to the Patriots after having a 28-3 lead.
What do you think about him being a coach? I wonder if you learn from your first opportunity, are you able to apply the lessons learned?
Well, we have to be fair. Raheem Morris, right? I mean, he's getting a second chance. Yep. And, I like the fact that it's a mix this time around. We got some young guys, and then they didn't do we got to remember, Belichick, Vrabel, and Carroll, these are dudes with, hundreds of wins in the NFL, older, a couple of them. These guys did not get hired during this cycle. So they went a different route. Teams, had a different philosophy. What with some of these younger guys, it's okay. We got tired for a while of the instant retreads. It was like every coach, you coached before somewhere, and it was just like recycle, recycle, recycle.
Yeah.
It's now to a point where teams are either going younger on purpose or, you know, they've seen enough of that old stuff. But I think it's a good thing. But I also think it's okay for somebody to get a second chance. You know, Quinn took a team to a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. You know, for whatever reason, it didn't work out toward the end over there in Atlanta, and he's getting a second chance. Now, he's got to step his game up a little bit, though, because, you know, and the good thing is you can't judge him solely on how things ended over there in Dallas. You have to look at how it started with the Cowboys. It was horrible when he got there, and he turned it around over his last bunch of years. And he, you know, he's almost like trying to, like, in Dallas, he's trying to make chicken salad out of chicken, you know what, because they didn't have some of the proper pieces. He's playing with them smaller linebackers and stuff like that. He got exposed a little bit, and some of that necessarily isn't his fault, but, you know, like I said, I do like the fact, you know, that some of these younger coaches are getting a chance. I do think, you know, now, was he their first choice? Obviously not. I don't think he's his first choice. And the other thing is, it was almost like he was destined to go out to Seattle, right? That job was his before it was anybody else.
That was the rumor.
Yeah. I mean, he'd been there before as a DC, and it was almost like this is it, you know. And
especially Seattle, with that defensive mentality that Carroll had in the first place, it would seem like a natural thing. But
So Seattle saw something that made them pause, and maybe it was the decline of his defense down the stretch. But for whatever reason, he didn't get that job. Commanders, obviously, I think it would be safe to say he wasn't their first choice, because they were basically almost ready to hand the job to Johnson, and he backed out. And, you know, it's one of those things, we've all been there before. Hey, I need a date for the prom. You don't want to go with me? Hey, girl, who you going with? Nobody? Hey,
oh, all right.
What colors we going in?
you
know, I think if they had their choices, they would have went. Now, I will say this much. What the heck does Bieniemy have to do to get a job, bro?
Man.
And does he keep his OC job over there? And the only thing that might – the only thing to his advantage, Jay, is the fact that all the other OCs and quality, they got kind of fingered through and put in some of these other spots. Yeah. And it's almost like musical chairs. Where are you going to go to get one right now, because it's so late in the game? And it might be the same thing. Well, Bieniemy's already here. You know, let's not rock the whole apple cart. Let's just roll with him if he wants to stay. But, damn, I mean, he went there, in my opinion, for that specific – show you what I can do. And the job opened up where he is, and I don't even know if he got an interview. I don't think he got an interview. I didn't hear his name one time. Eric Bieniemy interviewed anywhere else or with his own team that he was there with. So however that works out, that doesn't say much for him and his future.
Yeah, that's a good point, because he went there to say, this is what I can do. Watch what I can do with an offense. And then that offense didn't necessarily do what they needed to do. And that team was it was just one of those things. I think when he went there, it was almost like dead man walking with the former head coach. So
And his personality didn't work out as well. Something's wrong there.
You remember those stories that we heard about? He's yelling at us. He's cracking us too hard. All right, so Easy Sports Talk Show, Ed Smith and Javon Adams. Leave me with this, man. So Antonio Pierce is the head coach for my Las Vegas Raiders, and they got to look for an OC. You know, they don't really have a quarterback, because, you know, the quarterback that we have, once we told Jimmy Garoppolo to kick rocks, the quarterback we have, we won a game 9-0 because he didn't make any completions in the second half. So they decided to hire Cliff Kingsbury.
Cliff.
We talk about second chances. It's possible that he's learned that maybe he went back to the lab and to the drawing board and figured out maybe he did some personal scouting, right? This is where I messed up. I need to do better at adjusting. And maybe because I was wearing the big hat as opposed to the slightly smaller hat of the coordinator, I wasn't able to be successful. And now I understand, and I've seen it. I've been through it. I know what to do. If I just am responsible for this piece of the team, then I can flourish. But your thoughts on that? Because I'm not necessarily sold on it. I don't know. But I guess we'll see. Proof is in the pudding, it'll come out in the wash, all those other sayings. But what are your thoughts on Cliff Kingsbury? in this particular.
I don't know if I've seen any growth, man. I don't. Toward the end, he was the same old Cliff, and that's after 4 years. And where I don't know where he's he gone. Like you talk about going in the lab, usually it's the second time that you get. You know, he's going to be still learning on the job, if you ask me, on the fly, because I think he went to USC and he's kind of just like an advisor of some sort, not necessarily hands-on or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you talk about his past goings. I mean, we saw exactly what he was in college and nothing changed. So I'm not sure where he learned the lesson where he's going to be that much better for you and your organization. It just seems he's just a dude to me, man, that just keeps failing upward. I mean, every time you turn around, you know, he's losing record in college. Hey, let's bring him over here and, you know, make him the head coach, because he had signed with USC and all of a sudden it was like, no, we're going to make him our head coach here at Arizona Cardinals. Right. And he did what he did here, and then he left here with stacks of money in his pocket, dripping out of his pocket, basically, and decided, hey, I'll just go back to college and, you know, be an advisor there. And then next thing you know, he's back in the league, and it's like, wow, somebody must really see potential in him, see something that we don't see. Obviously, all you can do is hope, Jay, and you hope that somehow he's learned and figured out, and maybe because he's only going to be the offensive coordinator,
maybe
it's not too much for him, because he definitely was over his skis trying to manage not just the offense but the entire organization as far as head coach. He's not a good CEO. So maybe if you just give him sales department or marketing or whatever, he can handle it. But yeah, he's just not a good overseer of the entire program. So maybe this is, you know, time number two, and he'll get it right. But I'm not confident in that one. If I'm you, I'm thinking, oh my God, we get ready for a whole lot of the same old.
Horizontal passes.
Horizontal passing, man. Yeah.
But what's also interesting to me is that if you watch the Hard Knocks in season, he just doesn't seem. He didn't seem like a good leader of men.
Not
he didn't
at all.
Seem like he embraced that role of being the leader, being the head honcho. And that's something that I'm not the one that believes that people are born. I think people are born that way, but I think you can learn that, but it takes a concerted effort to continually try to improve and work on that skill set to be a leader. And I don't know, I guess it'll stand. We'll see if he's done that type of work to be a leader of men on the offensive side of the ball.
Maybe some of Antonio Pierce will rub off on him, the enthusiasm, the zest for, you know, being in that environment, because he was really overwhelmed when he had the job here. And like I said, maybe because he won't have all the responsibility on him, it'll just be the offense. Maybe he'll be able to flourish and shine.
We'll see. So we do this 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. You can go to easysportstalk.com, easysportstalk.com, where we to find out the other things that we do, get previous podcasts. So you can always, you know, search wherever you get your podcasts as well. But easysportstalk.com, we do the Believe in the Arizona Cardinals podcast, and we'll be getting back to that next week. But typically that's Monday and Thursday during the season. And you can go to easysportstalk.com to get that, or go to search Believe in Cardinals wherever you get your podcast. And then we also have our terrestrial radio show, which is every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern. And so you can go to sportsmapradio.com if you're not in one of the 98 markets that we're in. And you in the upper right corner, you can press the play icon, or you can download the app for your mobile or Android device. And so aside from that, next week it's the story of the week of, and then we're gonna get that story of the actual game and some of the things that happened with that game, the infamous things that happened with that game. But yeah. On behalf of Easy's brothers, Javon J. Love Adams, and as we always like to say around this time, are you